This is a special PZ Radio presentation. Apostasy Now. Hello, everyone. My name is Ray Gano, Executive Director of Prophesying, and you're listening to PZ Radio. I want to welcome you to this special PZ Radio series called Apostasy Now. We have some great speakers that we have interviewed for this series. Ray Youngen, author of A Time of Departing. Ray came out of the New Age and has been a watchman on the wall regarding the whole New Age issue entering the church. We have Wilfred Hahn, author of End Time Money Snare and the executive director of Eternal Value Review. We have James Sundquist, author of Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church. Rick Warren and many others are leading many away from the Lord. James exposes this in his book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church. We also have Pastor Bob DeWay, author of Redefining Christianity and the executive director of Critical Issues Commentary, a great newsletter. Folks, look around. There is deception everywhere you look. Just a few weeks ago, I walked into a McDonald's and they're giving away free yoga DVDs when you order an adult Happy Meal. But that's not really the sad fact. The sad fact is that much of this deception has entered and is also entrenched in our churches today. There's things out there in our churches called contemplative prayer, Christian yoga, walking the labyrinth. There's forms of Gnosticism, candles, incense, icons. There's apparitions of angels, apparitions of Mary, you name it, there's an apparition of it. But very interestingly, there's a new thing coming on the scene, it's called Reiki. Folks, this is modern day wizardry. It is casting of spells to project spiritual energy towards someone. Right now they're talking, oh, it's wonderful because we can heal with Reiki and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, so many Christians are involved in it. They have become wizards. So what's wrong with this picture? What is wrong with this world? 2 Timothy 4:3 through 4 tells us, "For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap upon themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned on to fables." Folks, that's what's going on today. With that, I am honored to present to you our special PZ Radio special, Apostasy Now. Enjoy. We're here with Pastor Bob DeWay, author of Redefining Christianity, and welcome to PZ Radio, Pastor.
It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you. Do me a favor. I know that some of the people may not know about what you've done recently. You've got a great book out called Redefining Christianity, Understanding the Purpose-Driven Movement. And I love how you've just basically put in plain everyday language that is very hard-hitting, where you're basically showing the error in what is happening with Rick Warren, the whole purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church movement. And I thought it'd be great to have on the radio show and focusing on our series here, Apostasy Now. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the book is really, in a sense, reverse engineers this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I started with a question, which is, Jesus said that the world would hate us because it hates him.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed how much the world loves Rick Warren and his whole movement, and he's on these talk shows, and everybody thinks what he's doing is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So how did he ever create a version of Christianity that overcomes this offense of the gospel so the people love him? Well, I spent 2 years studying it, and I found out how he did it, and I wrote a book to reveal his whole process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wow.
And what he does is he redefines just about everything that we believe as Christians. If you take his five purposes for the church,
mm-hmm.
all five of them sound like things that we should agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read his version of it and compare it to the Bible, they're totally redefined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah, please do.
I think this one's real obvious. One of his five purposes for the church is discipleship. So we would say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Discipleship?
Uh-huh.
Well, his version of discipleship is the SHAPE program.
Yeah.
All right?
Uh-huh.
Well, think about this. In the Bible, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Uh-huh.
So disciples in the Bible are people who deny themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the SHAPE program is a study of self. You study yourself, your
uh-huh.
abilities, your personality,
uh-huh.
your experiences. And people love it because the world loves studying self.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So talk about redefining. Rather than denying self, you study self, and that's
mm-hmm.
his version of discipleship. So he creates a discipleship that people that are unconverted really like.
Mm. Well, one of the things that I've noticed with the whole purpose-driven movement is that he's almost taken a corporate or business plan, and I like how you put it here. The purpose-driven church is a church that has adopted a business marketing strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And we are seeing that. And what he is addressing, or who he is trying to bring in, is the world. But one of the things that we read, and this is something I just don't understand, in James 4:4, we read, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So how can Rick Warren not take this verse and totally understand it? And, he's addressing the world. He's wanting to be friends with the world and just bring the world in and all this other stuff. And yet right here in James, it says, if you're a friend of the world,
mm-hmm.
then you're an enemy of God. So how does he reckon with that?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen him address that verse, but I know what his program and what his justification is.
Mm-hmm.
What he claims is that we need to do a demographic study, a marketing survey, and we have to create a version of the church that the world will love, and that's his way of getting them through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're in through the door, he has this way of processing them through his programs in 101, 201, 301, 401.
Mm-hmm.
And they love this version of the church,
yeah.
even in their unconverted state. And so he's trying to overcome this thing, the friendship with the world's hostility to God. But as a matter of fact, the only way to do it is make the church more like the world. And in my opinion, once you do that, you don't have the church as defined by Jesus Christ himself.
Exactly.
And so that's why I called my book Redefining Christianity, because that's what Rick Warren has done, is redefine all of the terms and even redefine the church itself.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chapter on that called Redefining the Church. I show how he does that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, what he's doing isn't he calling it a second reformation?
Well, he's calling it a reformation, but I call it a deformation. he's going to have a reformation. I actually quote some things that he said at this Pew Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's going to bring a Muslim. He said, for example, you could use a Muslim to be the man of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go into a village, and whoever's influential, this is how he's going to enact his peace plan. And it could be a Muslim, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have church in a box, clinic in a box, business in a box,
mm-hmm.
which is a franchise terminology.
Yeah.
And you can plug anybody in and make it run, even a Muslim, he said. And then he said, and that will be the Reformation. So now we're going to have a Reformation, and it doesn't even need Christians to run it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's amazing. What's really amazing is that most of the evangelical church doesn't see anything wrong with all this.
Yeah, that's what I find amazing. In fact, we know that one of the signs of the time for Jesus' soon return is the apostasy in the church and the great falling away. What are you seeing taking place today with what's going on, and what are some of the primary things that are would fall into this category?
Well, the biggest apostasy that's going on in the evangelical movement is that we're giving up our message.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving up the blood atonement. For example, one of the purposes for the church, according to Rick Warren, is fellowship.
Yeah.
Well, what I point out in my book is that in 1 John it says the terms of fellowship is if we walk in the light as he is in the light,
mm-hmm.
the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins, we have fellowship with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no blood atonement. You have no fellowship as defined in the Bible.
Yeah. Well,
So he has fellowship, but no blood atonement. So what's going on here? Well, he has a different thing than what the Bible means mm-hmm. by fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, too, is that, and you well know, is that Rick Warren never really talks anything bad, or you don't want to point anybody's faults out or anything. And to point out that someone is a sinner in need of a Savior, well, that just makes you know, Joe world a little too uncomfortable. And so, you know, it just, it amazes me. You know, it's interesting. We do a lot of the study and research that we're doing here at Prophecy, and it appears as if these things are just taking place here, but they're not. They're actually taking place all over the world. I mean, is this something that you've seen as well?
Oh, yes. I'm hearing from people all over the world. I published an article on this in our Critical Issues commentary sometime before I actually wrote the book, and mm-hmm. so I started getting feedback, which is what motivated me to write the book, because this is all over the world. It's mm-hmm. being exported as Christianity and brought around the world by people. Maybe their motives are sincere. I don't know people's motives. I can't judge that, but I can judge the message, and this isn't the message of the gospel.
Exactly.
The gospel is never presented in the Bible as some journey to discover your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I got an interesting, talking about around the world, I got a really nice email from someone in Japan who's a missionary, and he's right on. He's a great brother. And he read my book, and he said, I love your book, but I thought you went a little too easy on Rick Warren. I said, well, why do you say that? He says, well, you compare him to Peter when he compromised and Paul rebuked him.
Mm-hmm.
And this missionary said, well, I never saw Peter write a book called The Law-Driven Life. I said,
That's good. You
got a good point.
That's good. You know. Oh.
So there are discerning people out there around the world, but there's an awful lot that aren't discerning, and they're taking this in, and they're bringing it in as the latest, greatest way to have a big church, to get more people in, and so forth.
Yeah.
But to do so, they're destroying the most important parts of the church's message.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of the things that's kind of mind-boggling to me is that we're kind of seeing a lot of Gnosticism almost coming into the church, and in fact, in many forms like contemplative prayer, Christian
yep.
yoga.
Yep.
But, I mean, the whole SHAPE program, if I remember correctly, is that's all based on studies of Carl Jung.
Well, the P part of it, yes.
Yeah.
It's S-H-A-P-E, I think the first one is spiritual gifts
yeah.
and
yeah.
heart and abilities, personality and experience. Well, the personality part of it is this Myers-Briggs indicator
mm-hmm.
that's based on the theories of Carl Jung's psychological theories.
Mm-hmm.
And James Sundquist, as you know, has been pointing that out and battling these guys, but they just ignore what he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are some of these practices, why are pastors allowing this in the church? I mean, these are pastors. These guys are supposed to know the Word of God. Why are they letting it in?
Well, it's come in through this whole church growth movement. And I have a chapter where I explain this ministry philosophy, the church growth movement from mm-hmm. Schuller and this Donald McGavran.
Yeah.
And what happens, and I know what it's like because I was under a lot of pressure myself
mm-hmm.
when I was in seminary. They're trying to tell you that if you don't get your church growing and getting big, that you're failing
hmm.
because they create these definitions. And so they tell pastors, you're failing if your church isn't growing. Well, preaching the gospel that offends sinners may not solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they create this supposed problem that you have to get a big church and then sell the solution, which is their church growth theories, which are all based on the idea that you have to study man to figure out what man needs and man wants to give them a version of religion that they'd be interested in joining.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bring in psychology, sociology, anthropology, every other kind of study,
mm-hmm.
and these guys figure they can create this package. They even hire demographic experts to come in and tell mm-hmm. you what to do. So it's like you're selling any product that the world sells, only you're selling religion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are some of the other like mystical practices that you know you're seeing come into the church?
Well, the mysticism is a horrible thing. I debated one of the leaders of the emergent church, a guy by the name of Doug Padgett,
mm.
and he uses yoga and he promotes yoga, and I challenged him about that in our debate, and he claims that there's nothing wrong with using Eastern religion, and it's just amazing that they've taken the walls down. They're letting the wolves come right into the church.
Well, I mean, see, this is the asinine, you know, thought. But I mean, aren't people really thinking nowadays? Yoga is one of the dogmas of the Hindu religion. I think there's 7 or 9, but yoga is one of the primary tenets or pillars. And, you know, where in the Bible does it say get in the lotus position?
No, not at all. But see, here's the thing. They're denigrating the objective revelation of God found in Scripture. Exactly. The emergent church, for example, they reject the idea of propositional revelation, so they don't like propositions. Well, what's a proposition but a truth claim?
Exactly.
The Bible says Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. That's a proposition. It's either true or false.
Yeah.
And so in my debate, I just laid that out. I laid out the propositions, the boundaries, logic. Oh, man, he didn't like that.
Well, good. Good. How many people were affected that night?
Well, we had, our building seats 500 people, and it was packed wall to wall.
Right on.
And I was willing to do it because I knew his people were there, and I figured at least once they're going to hear the gospel because I preached it to them.
Right on.
And so, I mean, we had, by the way, people want to get that debate. We have it available on our website for sale. It's not very expensive.
Do me a favor. What is your website address?
Okay, here's a website where you can either get my book or the debate or other stuff like this. CICministry.org.
Hold on.
World Wide Web, CICministry.org. And the book's available there. And for free, we have on the website 93 theological articles that I've written over the last 14 years, plus more. There's a scholarly section that deals with, for people that have a little more theological education, I deal with some more technical issues in the scholarly section.
What I'd like to do is let's, you know, a little bit, talk a little bit more about your ministry, about your website, but a real question I have is, what should Christians, Bible-believing Christians, I can't say the word, it's sad, you can't say the word Christian anymore, you have to actually, but Bible-believing Christians, what should we be doing about things like this?
Well, we need to be on our guard. I tell people to go to their pastor and ask him to preach verse by verse through the Bible, preach the gospel, teach the word of God, feed the flock.
Mm-hmm.
People need, if they can't get it, I get calls from all over.
Mm-hmm.
People in very, you know, sometimes pretty large cities, they cannot find a Bible-preaching church.
Yeah.
Because this movement, since so quote-unquote successful, has poisoned the well for a lot of people. So, well, we have actually two websites. We put out basically everything we do on the web, so people, if they can't get Bible teaching anywhere else,
they can
go to TwinCityFellowship.com.
Okay, that's another good one,
TwinCityFellowship.com.
Ship.com.
And if you click sermons, we have all of our sermons on there in audio. We have PowerPoint of them. PowerPoints, by the way, are scripture, not entertainment.
Okay, good.
It's all scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And the sermons are on there, and we also put them on in video format if you have high speed so you can watch our sermons.
Oh, right on.
We have our Bible classes on there, which people are interacting. We've been teaching through Hebrews, so most of the book of my study through the book of Hebrews is on our website. So we want to make sure people get fed up. We're not trying to replace the local church, but if the local church abandons the flock and let them starve, somebody's got to feed them.
Well, that's something that we're doing here at Prophezine also. I get emails all the time, can you give me a good Bible-believing church? And that's something that I've had to actually start doing is I'm working with my pastor, and he's got a little directory. I go to a little independent Baptist church here in the middle of nowhere. But we look up for some good churches for people to go to, and
good.
But
yep, that's a good service. We keep track ourselves when we hear from somebody who says that they have a really good Bible church. We just keep track of that, and if they call us, we don't have a huge inventory yet, but we at least know some around the country.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I do get asked a lot of the purpose-driven movement is deceitfully brought into the church, and it's almost like a secret movement in the back door.
Oh, yeah.
And what are some of the early warning symptoms that people might see, you know, who are Bible-believing Christians in the early on that can possibly start you know, showing that they may be moving or transitioning their church to a purpose-driven church.
Yeah, that's a good term, transitioning. That's what they call it. I have a whole chapter on this, chapter 3 in my book, and I'm answering the question, what happened to my church? And I explain their whole process. Now, not every pastor does it the way they're told to do it, but if they follow the plan, they may be undermining the leadership of the church for 2 or 3 years before they launch it on the congregation. But what the pastor is taught to do is to convince all the movers and shakers and key leaders to make this transition. And what you're transitioning from, by the way, is from a Bible church to a purpose-driven church. They're not the same. Or you're going from a gospel church that's there to preach the gospel to the lost and to feed the flock to a church that's there to attract the worldly crowd and entertain them. Now, the purpose-driven is set up as a brand identity, okay? And so if they're going to go purpose-driven, they'll just start bringing this stuff in. You'll start seeing the purpose-driven life being promoted. They have these campaigns. You're supposed to spend 40 days of where the church turns everything over to Rick Warren. And if you hear terms like vision casting, okay, that's a giveaway. That's a business term. It's not a biblical term. And so I've talked to people, said, well, our pastor has a vision casting retreat he's taking the leaders on. Well, you know you're in trouble. And so in chapter 3, I unpack all of this stuff, and I explain what's going on and what it's designed to do. And I have talked to dozens and dozens, and probably into the hundreds now, of people around the country who've asked me what to do, and they go in and they plead to their pastor to preach the gospel. And the amazing answer is most of them say, no, I won't do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the same. I'm getting the same emails. People ask me what to do as well. And if it's gotten that far, then basically there's almost nothing that one can do, because to transition their church to a purpose-driven church, I know a minimum it costs something like $25,000. These guys have already put a stake in it financially, and they're not going to turn it around. And so I tell some of my readers that, you know, if you do have a purpose-driven church, go talk to your pastor. You know, beg, plead, do whatever you can. But if they still say no, then what you need to do is you know, close up your Bible and move on, because more important, you can stay there and fight, but if you do, you will not be fed the gospel. And so it's more important that you are fed the gospel than, you know, fight an unending or unwinning or one winnable battle. There have been,
I haven't seen one go back. I've seen people that were considering it decide not to. I've had people give my article to pastors who were considering it, and after they read my article, they said, no, we're not going to do it. But once they've already made the decision and started investigating it, I haven't seen anybody go back. And there's some people that I've, you know, come for consultation to talk to me, and I know some people that fought tooth and nail for their church that they've been in for two generations. And the pastor is just has a deaf ear. He doesn't care what the Bible says.
I mean, why are pastors not caring? What happened?
Somehow or another, they became professional, and they feel like they have a profession, and they've got to be successful in their profession, and this is a promise that they can do it, and they haven't been willing to let the Bible define the church. I have an appendix on the seven churches in Revelation, and we talk about what Jesus commends in a church. And the two churches that were commended and not rebuked at all were both very small churches. And if you have to be willing to feed the flock and forget about professional prestige, forget about accolades, forget about being a mega church, forget about going to the pastor's convention and bragging to everybody how big your church is, how fast it's growing. We need to get all of that stuff out of our heart and mind and get back to being just faithful to God. Why are more or not, I don't know. It's probably the end times apostasy is all I can say.
I mean, the here pastors know the Word of God. I mean, how I don't understand how they cannot, how they just ignore, you know, where it says, Lord, Lord, you know, here I prophesied in your name, and I did this in your name and everything, and you know, Jesus just, I know you not.
Well, you know, I know one thing Satan's using very big time to deceive people, and that is this, that famous people are endorsing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've contended with people, and they'd say, well, look at this person says it's okay, this one says it's okay. Look at Rick Warren's book has Billy Graham on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, how can it be bad?
Yeah.
So they do discernment sort of by who endorses what.
Yeah, discernment via association,
Yeah, and so they go, oh, well, geez, look at that. The Billy Graham says it's good, so why should I worry that there's anything wrong in this book?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is just a deceitful thing that's going on. And I don't know why these people are endorsing it. I guess they don't understand the gospel very well either. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Today I had James Sundquist on earlier, and he told me, he gave some quotes and didn't say who the name was until finally he said, oh, I'm going to give you these quotes, kind of guess who it is. And but there's a campaign going on over the radio that this individual is promoting the whole purpose-driven book, the whole purpose-driven program, this and that, and you know. But it's Naomi Judd who.
Oh
is,
yeah, James told me about that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That just kind of blew me away, and so they're now getting a celebrity endorsement and getting all that out. Here's an interesting something that Tracy actually wanted me to help ask you expand upon is we're starting to hear the word change agent a lot. Can you expand on to our readers and listeners what is this and who are these change agents?
Okay, change agent, and it also can use the term facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the facilitator, the change agent. What is going on that's really deceiving a lot of people is they're bringing back this Hegelian synthesis. Now,
mm-hmm.
let me explain that. Hegel, the idea was that you have an idea, a thesis, and then an opposite idea, an antithesis.
Mm-hmm.
And the old way of thinking was one was right and the other was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his idea was, well, no, that if you take these two, the thesis, the antithesis, you end up with a synthesis. There's some new synthetic alternative that's going to sort of evolve into something better.
Mm-hmm.
And that became the philosophy that Karl Marx adopted that became the philosophy that led to communism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, this whole thing has come into America through our education system,
yeah,
and is being adopted big time by the emergent church. They use the terms just without blushing that they're rejecting propositions and true and false, and they're going to find a new synthesis. Some emerging synthesis is mm-hmm. supposed to be better. Now, the change agent is a person who they may not tell you. They're a facilitator. They have an agenda. They know where they want this to go, but they don't reveal that. What they do is they create this dialogue where people think that they're deciding something for themselves in some sort of a group dynamic.
Yeah.
And as they do, this change agent is behind the scenes guiding this process to some destination. This new synthesis, and
mm-hmm.
what was happening is everything we believe is being questioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically what people are doing is entering into their own subjectiveness versus the inherent word of God.
Well, yeah, see, the whole thing is based on subjectivity. We had a guy speak at our church, and we made a DVD of it, and his name is Dean Gotcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a great job. He created a term called diaprax that explains this whole thing.
Hmm.
And so it's fascinating. It's amazing. He traces it all back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah,
and it works like this. God says, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what Satan does is starts a dialogue.
Yeah.
And so he's the change agent. He's saying, well, are you sure that's what God said? And are you sure you're going to die?
Mm-hmm.
And this is this kind of a process, this whole what Gotcher calls diaprax, with these change agents, is coming into the church, and they're using it, for instance, in the Alpha courses.
Yeah.
Rather than proclaiming the truth, you get people in, and you start this dialogue, and you try to manipulate the group,
mm-hmm.
hopefully to have a subjective experience and decide that it's crucial.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, something, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. Otherwise, I'm going to get on my soapbox here and start shouting.
Well, you know, if you look, I explain this in Chapter 3 of my book about vision.
Yeah.
And in the purpose-driven paradigm, when they're transitioning, the pastor becomes the change agent,
yeah.
And he's trained in how to be it. And he has an agenda that he doesn't reveal right up front,
mm-hmm.
but he gets these people, and he starts talking to them, and they, you know, convincing them that as they dialogue, that wouldn't it be nice, look at all these people that drive by our church every day. Wouldn't it be nice if these people in our neighborhood actually wanted to come to our church? Don't you think that'd be a good thing? Well, sure, I think that'd be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if we can't find a way to make that happen. And so it sounds very innocuous, but the whole thing is designed to transition the church away from the gospel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all you know, in part of Rick Warren's, you know, I guess, peace plan and everything is to move all these churches.
He wants to have four. He claims he's going to line up 400,000 churches, mm-hmm. which is more churches than we have in America, mm-hmm. counting even the Catholic churches.
Yeah.
So where he's going to get them, I don't know, but he's going to get them all signed up to do his peace plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, you know, we do know that he's moving forward with his peace plan. To what effect have you seen this plan take place, and you know, what are some of your concerns about Rick Warren's peace plan?
Well, as I said earlier, and as he reveals in several of his speeches, he can run a peace plan without even the people running it aren't even Christian. They don't have to be Christian.
Yeah.
It's a franchise system he's going to set up, and it's a redefinition of the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So the new Great Commission is go into all the world and solve the problems so that they like you.
Good way to put it.
And that's not, I point out this in, you know, all the time, but Paul, we have Paul in front of King Agrippa,
uh-huh.
right? So what did Paul preach? You can read about this in Acts 26.
Yeah.
He's in front of King Agrippa. Did he say, hey, King, us Christians, we're pretty good guys. If you give us a chance, we're going to wipe out hunger and poverty. We're going to make your kingdom a better place to live.
Mm-hmm.
No. he preached about repentance. In fact, he so much laid the gospel out there on Agrippa. Agrippa says, you're almost persuading me to become a Christian.
Exactly.
So you put Rick Warren in front of the United Nations, and now suddenly he can't remember anything about the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's a question. You know, being a Prophezine is a newsletter that is focusing on Bible prophecy, world events, and more now we're moving into the discernment arena. But one of the things that we're seeing here, do you see that possibly, I believe that we are living in the last days, you probably agree with me.
Yeah.
Are we seeing possibly the foundation of the Laodicean church being spoken about in Revelations here with what Rick Warren's doing?
Well, it is the Laodicean church, but I think it's going to be worse than that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think that what is being done is the foundation is being laid for the Antichrist church.
Exactly.
And the Laodicean church, my interpretation of the seven churches is that they contain the virtues and vices of all churches throughout church history, and that mm-hmm. Jesus spoke to them so we could know what he approves of and what he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we see now is so much of the Laodicean church is descriptive of our modern evangelical movement. And churches that are faithful and are doing the things that God wants them to do are being marginalized or criticized.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I included an appendix in my book about the seven churches so people can just read. No, if you categorize what Jesus commended, he commended discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that tried the apostles and they were false, and that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he rebuked tolerance because it says you've tolerated this woman Jezebel, so the people that tolerated false prophets were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have the whole thing turned on their head, and the people who use discernment are called evil because they're dividing the body of Christ, so they say,
mm-hmm.
and the people who tolerate everything are called good. So we have what Jesus said ignored and replaced by human wisdom.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, do me a favor. Let's spend the next couple minutes here and tell me about your ministry. Tell me about Twin Cities Fellowship Church. Any other books on the plan? Also, your other website ministry, and I forget what it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've got two websites. All right, CICministry.org
mm-hmm.
and TwinCityFellowship.com.
Mm-hmm.
Twin City Fellowship is the church website, and that's where we have our Bible studies and our sermons and mm-hmm. the church material. The CIC one is the writing and contending version,
mm-hmm.
and we have articles on all kinds of issues. I have 93 published so far just in this critical issues commentary series that we send out bi-monthly.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 6,000-word theological essays.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other material on there. We have a discernment tool, by the way. We created a tool that compares every passage used in the purpose-driven life to a literal Bible translation.
Oh, cool.
And you can download that for free. It's on our website.
Awesome.
It's a discernment tool.
Awesome. Well, I got to put a
so
link to that.
If you get stuck in a purpose-driven life Bible study against your will, you print it out, bring it along, and you can see what's going on.
Cool.
So we got that on our website.
Do you have a radio show?
We have one on One Place, oneplace.com,
mm-hmm.
Critical Issues Commentary, and right now Brian Flynn and I are doing a series based on my book, Redefining Christianity, and we are, you know, doing 30 minutes each week
mm-hmm.
dealing with some of these topics that are in my book. And if you go to oneplace.com, you can find that.
Great. And so, when you go to One Place, a lot of the shows out there are podcasted, so... like PZ Radio, what you can do is subscribe to the podcast, and it will automatically download to your computer. So, and then...
Yeah, we have that on our Twin City Fellowship site, too.
Oh, great, great. And then also, Redefining Christianity, you can get it at CIC Ministries, correct?
Yeah, CIC Ministry, singular. Mm-hmm. CICministry.org.
Okay.
Go to the store. And it's also on Amazon.com. You just type my name in and search, and you'll find the book.
Yeah, great.
And so the other things we do are conferences. We had Roger Oakland speak at our church.
Mm-hmm.
I did a debate with the emergent church leader. We've mm-hmm. got other things. I'm often on Jim Markell's show.
Great.
We're in the middle of selling and moving, but once we have a video set up. So once we get settled in, I've got plans for more conferences. I'd like to bring some of these top people in and video, make DVDs of their presentations.
Awesome. Well, did you, was it your church that Jan had her conference at just recently?
Well, Jan spoke at our church.
Uh-huh.
And so she has a DVD that we created at our church.
Uh-huh.
But she has a conference at a bigger one, because we only hold 500, and she had 4,000 people come to her conference.
She told me it was actual standing room only. In fact, she got some emails from people. It was like the best 2.5 days they ever stood on my feet or something.
It was a fabulous mm-hmm. thing that she did there.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had Brian Flynn speak and do his conference, and we make a video out of that. So we've got quite a few videos available.
Awesome.
Like I said earlier, Dean Gotcher.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see that there is a hunger for Bible prophecy conferences or discernment conferences?
Well, there is here, from what Jan's seen,
mm-hmm.
she's done a great job, and they're looking at the people that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what we're seeing, and we've got people driving from all over, by the way, just to come to our church as part of the reason why we need to move, but there's a hunger that's created because the churches have gone silent.
Exactly.
The pastors aren't preaching on it, they're not teaching from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but the remnant, and, you know, there are people that know the truth and are hungry,
mm-hmm.
and they will come to these things.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And that's why I see such this is a great time to be a Christian, because now more than ever, you know, we can be so effective, and I find it, you know, I don't want to say it's easy or anything like that, but I utilize Bible prophecy and world events, and there's so many people who just are seeking questions or seeking answers.
Yep.
And it's astounding. I love it. And I love being able to present the gospel. And
amen. I'm more excited than I've ever been. I've been in the ministry for over 30 years, but
mm-hmm.
I preach the gospel every Sunday, and we see people are being converted and
mm-hmm.
are hungry for the word. And
mm-hmm.
There was a guy that was converted just recently, and then this Sunday, there was another new couple in church, and somebody said, how did they get there? Well, this guy that was a new convert was witnessing to him at a gas station.
Right on.
And so they're just excited about it, and we've got people going out in the streets and doing street evangelism too.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it's a great time to serve the Lord. I love serving the Lord. It's exciting to me, and I just, you know, I have a great passion for it, and I know that you do, and I just really want to recommend your book to all the readers out there and listeners out there. This is Redefining Christianity by Bob DeWay. It is a great book. In fact, I recommend his book, and then a good side book on the next to that is James Sundquist, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church. Both of these two books together, and you will have the compendium of, you know, refuting anything dealing with Rick Warren and the whole purpose-driven life movement. And Pastor, I just really thank you for, you know, your time today. I thank you for squeezing us in. I know you had a busy day today, and I hope that we can maybe get you on again down the road on PZ Radio. And I would love to start using some of your articles on Prophezine, and you know, anything that I can do to help your efforts, please let us know. And,
well, thank you.
And that's our ministry, is helping the ministries like yours get out there. Because,
well, thank you so much.
You know, I feel that we need to start banding together and start making our voices be heard. And so I just thank you so much. Thank you, and God bless you. God bless your ministry, your church efforts, and hope you find a new building here soon, too.
Yep. Thank you so much, and we got a little adventure finding a new building, but we know the Lord's in charge, so He'll get us to the right place.
But that's exciting, though. It means you're doing a good job. You're doing something right, and you're leading people to the Lord.
We're leading them to the Lord, and we're feeding the flock, and that's the two things that should be job one. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you.
We'll see you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, we know that we're living in the last days. How many people do you know that do not know the Lord? In today's world, there are so many people who are asking questions. They want to know if we're living in the last days, why so many things are happening around them, and what is wrong with this world. Folks, utilizing Bible prophecy is a great way to open doors, share the gospel. That's why I encourage you to share this radio message, burn the CD, pass it out to everybody you know. Share the PZ Insider issues with everybody. People have questions. When we share these things, we're planting the seeds, and that enables people then to come to know the Lord, as well as sharing the hope of our blessed Lord's soon return. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you in meekness and in fear." Folks, the days are getting shorter. I feel that we are sitting on the razor's edge, waiting for the Lord's return. If you're a Christian, time is short and you know it. If you're not a Christian, come to know the Lord. John 4:16 says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus also tells us in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Folks, I encourage you, you know, not delay in receiving Christ as your Savior today. If you haven't already done so, He died for your sins and rose from the dead. He offers you eternal life, but that's your choice to make. I hope that you'll consider doing that today. If you have, pray this prayer with me right now, folks. Father in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I need your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross just for me to cover the sins that I have committed against you. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus, from this day forward. Be known as a child of God. Father, thank you for forgiving my sins and coming into my life. Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Folks, if you are a Christian, but you've fallen away from the Lord, come back to Him.
Our Heavenly Father is good and loving Father. Just ask and commune with Him. You see, He never left your side. We just left Him. Reach out and renew your relationship with our Christ Lord today. And friends, again, thank you so much for being part of this radio show, listening to this special series, Apostasy Now. Folks, thank you for listening to PZ Radio. My name is Ray Gano. Maranatha, and goodbye.